with us. We will do introductions after I just given a bit of short talk on why this meeting is taking place, the purpose of the meeting, and a couple of general rules which apply to us as a portfolio committee. We are the portfolio committee on health, who are seated here, except for the chairperson of trade and industry and competition, Ms. Julia Hermans, and we'll do the introduction later. It's a beautiful day in Cape Town. We hope you enjoy it. And this meeting was requested by yourselves as a special committee with the Portfolio Committee on Health of the National Assembly and with the chairperson of Trade, Industry and Competition. Just to remind us as Portfolio Committee meeting that it is still a meeting of a committee of the National Assembly for official purposes only, and that the rules of debate will apply. Now, this meeting is called to discuss lessons learned from the COVID-19 pandemic response, as well as broader cooperation between the EU and South Africa. We understand that a couple of outputs you wanted to reach, and those are the discussions on a possible international treaty on pandemic, an approach to vaccine diplomacy, global solidarity, universal access to essential medical products and vaccines, and the recommendations for the future. Before we do the introduction, just a little bit on the program, and also you will note that there's a seat of Honorable Frolic, who will only join the meeting at 11 o'clock this morning. He's the House Chairperson of Committees. So the program is, we're already a little bit late, so we're going to extend past the 11:30 probably, but if we can finish before then, I don't know how tight your program is. But we'll immediately start with introductions, then very short opening remarks by Ms. Van Vreck, who's the leader of the delegation and the chair of the special committee, and myself. Then we'll have an engagement by the all delegates present, and the request was an interactive discussion, open discussion, and you will lead your any discussion of your members, and I will lead my members in the year. And then we have an engagement from the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Trade, Industry and Competition, who will give some input, and we'll have a further discussion. And then the vote of thanks from the House Chairperson, and then we'll have some refreshments and official photographs. Thank you very much. So let's go to the introduction. We'll give you the honor.
Okay. Very well. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, all colleagues. We're all colleagues amongst each other. We're all members of Parliament, of the important Parliament of South Africa, of the European Parliament. Let me start by stressing that I strongly believe in diplomacy, in global cooperation, and I strongly believe that members of Parliament have an important role to play. We underestimate that often, I think. It's because we have these sort of direct dialogues that we can make the change, and that's the reason why we are here. I'm the chair of the special COVID committee that has been established last year. It was March, April, and we will finish our business because it's a special and a temporary committee by the summer, July 2023, because then be moving into more of an electoral phase because we will have European elections in 2024. I think the importance of this committee cannot be underestimated. I've been visited as a politician and I've been in many different committees in the European Parliament, also at the national level. I personally come from Belgium. We have visited the last 20 years a succession of crises. Too many to recall them all very immediately. So, and every crisis, we tend to think that we are in the worst crisis. today in Europe we are facing again war at European soil. But the COVID crisis was an unprecedented health pandemic that hit the world very hard, including Europe and including South Africa. And I think it's important in political life that once in a while we take the time to look at these crises and take the lessons learned, because there is a connection between crises. Let me give you one example. The reason why we have this virus, many scientists will make a connection with climate change and with the fact that we are moving more and more towards, well, we take too much land out of the nature, and so there is a connection between climate and pandemics. There is also a connection between climate and security in the world. So it is good to take the time for looking at these crises and take the lessons learned. And the mandate of this committee, three of the pillars, is connected to domestic policies in Europe, the socio-economic impact, the impact on our democracies, rule of law, but also one very important pillar on the global, well, the global outcome and the role that Europe played or did not play in that time. And I think we need to be critical for ourselves, and from the very start of this committee, it was in our intention to take this mission, to come to South Africa, to take relief for Addis Ababa, because of the African Union, to make that combination. We didn't have any doubt that we needed to come to South Africa, because of the very specific role that South Africa played in this in this crisis. Yesterday we had the honor to be visiting the African Genome Center, BioVac, and of course also Afrigen, and we learned a lot, and we had very frank discussions on many of these issues. Think about, I mentioned that yesterday as well, in when we had the meeting with the Deputy Health Minister and at the reception, you discovered with the broad science base that you have in this country, you discovered the Omicron variant, and instead of us in Europe and in other places of the world, but I speak for Europe, instead of saying thank you very much for discovering that and we should share the scientific evidence and material, and we should make sure that we find very quickly solutions to that, we didn't do that. We didn't take time. We closed the borders. And every scientist would have told you how stupid that was. That's for us a good example of a lesson learned, and that's the reason why we need to talk and we need to listen to each other. Not going to make a longer speech than that, but I just wanted to outline why we are here, and why we are here not just to tell you what we think about the lessons learned, but to listen to you amongst colleagues. I think that is extremely important. I have a very good delegation with me, with very esteemed colleagues coming from many different political parties in Europe, and I think that is important in a democracy, that we have different voices, and that we will try to come to sort of compromises in writing our report by the summer. Do you want me to give them the floor to introduce themselves briefly, and then you do the same, and then we can start a discussion, and I'll do that just in the order of whom we're sitting. So just brief introductions, colleagues, and then we move to the discussion.
Dear honorable members, dear colleagues, good morning. I thank you for your welcoming our delegation in your parliament this morning in your beautiful country, where the greatest son of Africa was living. It is a great honor to be here for me, and I reiterate my commitment to your nation as I often travel to South Africa. I welcome your strength efforts made during the pandemic. As the Vice Chair of the Development Committee, I would like to stress the importance of protecting the most vulnerable population in case of a pandemic. By that, I mean women and children. I strongly believe that our responses to the spread of disease must be firm and consistent. Laws and institutions should serve the lives of their citizens. In that sense, population in both continents, in Europe as well as in Africa, always benefit from a well-funded public health care system. I look forward to our upcoming collaboration. Thank you.
Honourable Members, good morning. My name is Andreas Glück. I'm a member of the European Parliament, coming from the Liberal Group in Europe. I'm the first Vice Chair of the Controlling Committee. And in real life, so to say, I'm a medical doctor. This is so important. You already know Dr. Jacobs. I've been trained in a small hospital in Somerset West. Also, I've been there for 10 weeks, and it really influenced my life, so I have a very close relationship to South Africa, and I really look forward to the exchange now. Thank you.
Hello.
My name is Michel Rivasi. I am a member of the Unified Parliament. I am a Green. And thank you for the invitation. Well, I have a question during this pandemic. You are deputy. What is the role of the member of the National Assembly? Because in Europe, but in a lot of member states, the parliament is made out. It's executive who has the power. It's the health ministry who has the power. But not the member of parliament. So, I want to ask you, what is your role during pandemic?
Okay. Good morning, honorable members. Thank you very much for your invitation to be here. It's such a pleasure. My name is Sara Cerdas. I'm a member of the European Parliament. I come from Portugal. I'm a medical doctor specialized in public health. And I'm very much looking forward for a fruitful discussion today. As our chair already mentioned, we're drafting a report on how to be prepared for the next crisis and health crisis in regards to a pandemic. And in this regard, I would be very interested to understand how you dealt with the pandemic in regards to health literacy in the population, health education, but also how the pandemic affected South Africa when you did this favor to humanity to discover and share the knowledge on Omicron variants, but then we were met with not appropriate measures in this regard, and understand a bit how we can move forward and not repeat the same mistakes.
Good morning. My name is José Ramón Beltrán. I'm from Spain. I'm from the Liberal Group. I'm pharmacist as training and specialized in pharmacology. So one of the main important topics that we, because we are here, is because we want to be very humble. We need to learn about what you have been doing during this time, because in fact, you have been one of the leaders in the monitoring and as well to define and to, what do you say, to discover the Omicron variant. So it is so important because you have sadly have to do that because of another virus and an epidemic that you have in your country, not inside your country, but as well surrounded because of Africa's situation. And we, sometimes, I tell you honestly, we from Europe, we think we are the top of the world and the center of the world. And we are not, maybe geographically in our maps we are. But we have to know what is happening. We need to learn every single day about that other countries, that other regions that has done a very good job in that. So my main important topic is to learn. We have spent last day, visiting the universities, the laboratories, Biovac, Afrigen, and that. And you are one of the top in the investment and as well in the research. So we need to learn. Health has no border. Humanity has no border, and is the what we need to learn and work together in order to avoid more badly and sad situation that we are living together. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for accepting, of course, the willingness to accept us to have this conversation. I'm Marlon Machim. I'm a member of the Social Democratic Group in the European Parliament from the Netherlands. I must say there are already some questions by my colleagues, but I want to say until now I'm really quite impressed by the attitude of, that I see here in South Africa, by the facilities that we've visited, by the scientists that you have, and I really hope that we can think of ways to improve our relation and to make sure that we will be better capable of tackling the next pandemic when it occurs. This is what we are here, and this is what we want to be part of our report advising the Parliament and other European politicians. I'm looking forward to the discussion.
They're very important because we cannot function without them. Let that be very clear. That's our staff of the different political groups and of the secretariat.
I will start with, I think, the chair of the Trade and Industry and Competition, just to introduce herself, and then I will go to the members of the Portfolio Committee who are present.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the most beautiful city on earth, Cape Town, where we have a Table Mountain standing with its foot in the sea and national heritage site. So I'm Judy Hermans. I'm from Cape Town. I'm what we call in the colloquial language, I'm born, bred and buttered in Cape Town. I'm the chair of the Portfolio Committee on Trade, Industry and Competition. Our members at the moment are busy in a portfolio committee looking at our development financial institutions. So I'm representing them and I will be reporting back to them. And we know that trade and industry and competition has also played a very important role in tackling the pandemic and developing a solution. Thank you very much. You are very welcome.
Thank you. Then I will start behind and we'll go to the members to introduce themselves.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Suela Elvis. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Health, and I am from Mpumalanga, the place of the rising sun. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Nhlanhla Qaba. I'm the member of the National Assembly, also the member of the Portfolio Committee of Health. I also have other portfolios. I have yet members also have alluded to the fact that they also have served in other committees. That's impressive of us to come to have to learn from you as well. Indeed, I think we are ready. We have, even the chair has noted part of the questions and concerns you have raised. We will be alluding and detailing on that one. We are ready for you. Welcome, guys. This is the world of Nelson Mandela. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to South Africa, the warmest country on earth. From my point of view, I'm from the administrative city in Gauteng, which is called Pretoria. I'm staying there. My name is Philip van Toren. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee and a member of the National Assembly. I think in Belgium, my surname is pronounced Van Staren. Yeah. So this is the Afrikaans translation of my Van Staren. Welcome to South Africa.
Thank you. My name is Magdalena Duvile Hlengwa, MD Hlengwa. I'm a member of this committee and also a member of Women, Person, Youth and Person with Disability. I'm from KZN, I'm from KZN at Ulundi, you know Prince Mangosuthu, Dr. Mangosuthu Buthelezi. It's where I live in Etchipulundi, a place of heritage. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. It's really a true honor to host you in South Africa. And as the chairperson of the DTI said, we truly have the most magnificent country. We have the best weather in the world. We have the best people in the world. We have true diversity with rich cultures in this country that you really have to absorb, which makes this country so great. So thank you very much for coming to our country. My name is Michelle Clark. I'm a member of the Democratic Alliance, and I head up the Health Committee for the Democratic Alliance. And I'm looking forward to conversing today because I think there has been huge lessons learned during COVID. And, you know, in particularly, we will most definitely know how to handle a pandemic in the future in terms of regulations and laws and what we need to put in place in order to be more streamlined. But we do have fantastic facilities in this country and really great scientists, which we are extremely proud of what they've done for us in this country during the pandemic. And so it's great that you're sharing the knowledge we have in this country with the European Parliament. So thank you very much for coming. And just saying, I'm from Gauteng, from a town called Bedfordview, where there's a huge culture of Mediterranean people that live within my area that I live in. So a very diverse Mediterranean culture as well, and I've met very many Mediterranean friends, so you're really welcome. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Honorable Anna Gela. I'm the member of the Portfolio Committee. I'm also in the National Assembly. I'm from Gauteng, the city of gold. The minerals chairperson, but also we are looking forward to share the experience and also to learn the best practice from yourself, especially as you highlighted the issue of pandemic, which was also affecting the whole world, but we thank God because we managed to survive, although we have lost many people in our world. But we are looking forward for the best practice and also to share experience. But also, as you highlighted during your opening remarks, Chair, the issue of political parties. You said you've got many political parties, but you want to know actually how many of them. But I'm also here and representing African National Congress. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think before we proceed, my fellow chairperson had given some opening remarks, but I want to say a few things before we get to the actual discussion. Just a number of points which we would want to raise. And one would be a couple of lessons which we learned from COVID, and lessons which really speak to deficits in terms of the relationship between Africa and South Africa in particular and the European Union and of course other countries. The greatest one is that the inequality was the greatest obstacle to achieving health for all throughout the world. And we felt it very much in South Africa, and of course in Africa, and my colleague has spoken about a number of persons who had demised during COVID, and that number was 102,299 people, which are the official numbers. Then that inequality, of course, exists between the higher income countries and the middle income and lower income countries. And there was a large gap in vaccine equality between Africa and Europe. And the monopoly of the production of COVID-19 vaccines has contributed largely to the situation, which increased the inequality in vaccine availability between Africa and Europe. The blocking of the TRIPS waiver, which is a trade-related aspect of intellectual property rights, was not justified, and we would remember that our president and the Indian government had been on the forefront to try and get a negotiation and settlement on the TRIPS waiver, and unfortunately it was not as effective as we would have hoped for it to have been. And then a positive that comes from all of this is this global process initiated by the World Health Organization to draft and negotiate an international instrument under its constitution to strengthen pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response to health emergencies. We also welcome the establishment of the Intergovernmental Negotiating Body, which is jointly chaired between South Africa and Norway. And there is a program on the 23rd and 24th, which I think you would be participating in. If not, there's a program in Johannesburg on the 23rd, which is tomorrow, and the 24th, on this particular matter. But this body, its purpose is to bring this proposed instrument or treaty, if you want to call it that, into force. And we note that the intention is to seek equity in both access to the tools necessary to prevent pandemics and access to health care for all people. We are hoping that this special committee, yourselves, would come out very clearly, very strongly, make a statement in support of this instrument, and will assist in the developing countries in the implementation thereof. So I will now invite Ms. Honorable Ms. Van Brent again, to maybe, if you want to say another few opening words, and then we'll have an interactive engagement. We'll start with your members, further input, and then we'll go to our members, and we'll take responses afterwards.
Absolutely. So, in Parliament, we address the minister, in our case, the commissioner, or we have discussion among each other. Now we have to organize ourselves between you and us, but I think that will be just fine. Can I, just in response to what you said and the expectations that you might or might not have towards the European Union, say a few things about the TRIPS waiver. As I said in the beginning, we have here people from different political spectrums. And they will have a different opinion on that discussion. We had huge discussions during the pandemic, the moment India and South Africa requested for that waiver. As you know, Europe has three main institutions, the Council, the Commission, and the Parliament, and they did not agree. And the reason, well, because they did not agree, there was not like a firm stance to do one or the other. It's typical Europe. We can have like a lengthy discussion on how Europe functions. It's a vibrant democracy, but it has its limitations because we're still building up the European Union. In the European Parliament, we had a vote on a resolution on the TRIPS waiver with a majority to go in favor of waiving the TRIPS and so supporting the request of South Africa and India. It was a small majority, I have to say, so that you just see what the political spectrum is. And as such, we had discussions yesterday also with your scientists and people of AfriGen. Everybody more or less agrees that a TRIPS waiver is not good enough. You also need technical transfer, and you need to have a combination of that. And I think it's good that we start thinking, you mentioned the pandemic treaty, that we start thinking how do we deal with intellectual property rights, but also with not just with that, but also with technology transfer within a pandemic. And maybe we need to start thinking of a new system within the WTO, and within the World Health Organization. I don't have the answer yet. I think we will have lengthy discussions amongst us in the COVID committee, but we are very much looking forward for your input over there as well. So this is just a starting point. I think we can reach out the moment that we have discussions on that issue. The pandemic treaty will play an important role in the report as well and how we look at it, and we will try to be quite firm in giving a mandate to the European Commission that is a broad mandate. So let's be honest, the world was not prepared for this pandemic,
and we know what the challenge is to prepare ourselves for the next pandemic. And in that sense, somebody yesterday said, instead of closing the borders after the outcome, we should have picked up the phone between scientists all over the world and solved that problem instead. And that's what we need to do in negotiating the pandemic. Okay, I'm not going to give more input to that, and I would like to give the floor to my members. Do we one to one? I give one the floor and you give one the floor? Because otherwise it would be a lengthy old European Parliament. So give one the floor and then we go.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Naledi Mpungo. So we haven't changed on the system, but I recently changed my surname. And I'm from the Economic Freedom Fighters, and I serve in this portfolio committee as an alternate member. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to give the floor to my first vice chair, Luke, and then to do one and the other. Okay.
Your honourable members, there is a lot of colleagues here, so I will keep myself very, very short. And Dr. Jacobs, we've been already talking about this yesterday. When it comes to the health issue, very often we have to do with zoonoses, which diseases which have been with animals, and one day they just skipped to human beings. And if we want to prevent this, skipping to human beings, we have to be there quite early. We have to realize that there is a new disease coming up. And so this was very interesting discussing with Professor de Oliveira yesterday as well. We need some sort of an early detection. And so already for this reason, you are so important for us. We are strong partners already, and I know that when partners deal with each other, sometimes it's in a good way, sometimes it's not in such a good way. I want to say thank you that you did just such a good job in discovering Omicron. This is also what I told Professor de Oliveira personally. And the answer of Europe was closing the borders. And we can discuss now a lot whether it was necessary to close borders. You need to understand that our population is a lot older than your population. We are old compared to you. And so maybe there could have been reasons, but in any case, we should have talked to you in the first place. And so this is something I can only say, excuse us, please. This is, but it was a moment when also Europe was frightened. And frightenedness is a bad advisor, but let's make it better in the future. You were mentioning TRIPS waiver, and maybe TRIPS waiver could be part of the solution, but anyway, it's not only the patent rights which cause problems, it's actually the procedures you need for going and producing vaccines. So it's not only a matter of patents, it's also an issue of technological transfer, which is so important. In Europe, we have like one issue which is really bothering us very much. This is that peace in Europe has been disturbed. For us, the situation is really, really difficult. I don't want to discuss this here because this is not the topic. All I want you to know is that with the EU, you have friends, you have strong partners when it comes to that you want to get your own vaccine and medicines production here. We will support you on this. This is so important that you have it. And we are already close partners, and our job is to make this partnership even closer. This is our job. This is what I look forward to working on. Thank you.
Yes, I think, Chair, I can see the way the structure. I think it would be good if we discussed issues of trade together with the health issues, because they are interrelated, instead of having it as a stand alone. So access to vaccines and life-saving health technologies and products can be a major game changer in mitigating the economic, social and health consequences. In order to avoid a repeat of mistakes made, not only during the COVID pandemic, but also other health emergencies, such as HIV/AIDS and H1N1, the scaling up of regional production of essential medicines through the establishment of hubs in South Africa and in Africa must happen now before the next pandemic. So in addition, South Africa supports the development of a pandemic treaty to ensure preparedness for future pandemics. The World Health Organization instrument currently under discussion complements the efforts in the WTO to deal with IT barriers. It provides opportunities for the world to collaborate and stand together in solidarity in promoting and ensuring equal and equitable access by all countries to medical countermeasures, including vaccines, diagnostics, and therapeutics to deal with the current COVID-19 and future pandemics. It could include strengthening systems of cooperation, building capacity, technology transfer, and know-how for regional manufacturing. Of key importance are issues of finance, both domestic and global, and governance, which has to take into account regional perspectives. Let me end the chair for now, and I'll check in next time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very important. Next to the Coffee Committee, I'm also a member of the International Trade Committee in the European Parliament. So it's very good to make that connection. Also, the problem that we have with value change during the there's a lot of lessons to be learned over there as well. Can I give the floor to Sarah Zeller, please?
Sarah? So I have a very concrete question. I already told you yesterday. I see the honourable member here. I'm going to see a repetition, but it would be, what would be your main takeaways? What you would you like to see mirrored in the new instrument that is being developed at global health level, which is the pandemic treaty? We understand that IHR works very well for some diseases, but it was not prepared as an instrument to make all countries communicate when it comes to communicable diseases. So I would like to understand your perspective on what you would like to see embedded in this pandemic treaty that is being negotiated with the World Health Assembly.
Yes, we'll come to the question. Who is next?
Yeah, Chair, not exactly like I'm reflecting already on the what we would like to get on the treaty, but I think I must emphasize that there could be many benefits we are waiting from the treaty, which some of them will include better alerts. We must have better responses and better implementation. We must have, we must attend to the matter of research and innovation, the resilience to future pandemics, HIV, the improved response mechanisms will assist very much on the treatment, the early detection and prevention of pandemics, restoring in the international health system and ensuring the stronger framework with the WHO as the coordinating authority on global health matters. These are key issues which I would sum up as what will be our expectation with regard to the treaty, Chair. Lastly, Chair, maybe the improved response to any future pandemic by ensuring universal and equitable access. Remember, we're worried about the element of equity to medical solutions, such as vaccines, medicines, and diagnosis. So that is quite key as to what would be our expectations with regard to the treatment. Thank you.
Okay, I have another vice chair with me, that's Mrs. Rivandi. Merci. I think that we... Je vais le faire en français, vous traduirez. Bon. Moi, je pense qu'il faut prendre du recul et se dire quels sont les outils dont on dispose et comment devenir autonome.
Translation will come afterwards.
Don't worry. You've done better than French. Can you translate?
Yeah, wait. Thank you for giving me the floor. What I think is we need to take a step back and to think of what are the tools that we have at our disposition and how can we become autonomous.
Yeah. Number one is the alert system. And now you have alert system. It's your genomic laboratory. It's a good thing. Second thing is, have you a laboratory to make vaccine? But not only vaccine. Other people speak about vaccine, but you have treatment, but you have prevention, but you see, make care, because with this pandemic, the only solution is vaccine. What's the superior? Treatment also. Nobody speak about treatment. Bon. Have you laboratory to make vaccine? Now, we have visited BioVac, we have visited Aprigen, and if you support this laboratory, you have the tool to do that. But we, it's your role to support that. Because if we don't give money to support this laboratory go down. And also, it's also the role of African Union. You see, after Cap Down, you go to Addis Ababa. And we meet the minister of Union Africaine. And I think that there are responsibilities also to help you, because in Africa, it's in South Africa, which are more laboratories than any country in Africa. Perhaps a little Senegal, Rwanda, it's BioNTech, it's not, you see, their own laboratory and so on. So you have an international African role to play. And that is very important to hear that. And about pandemic with OMS. First thing, who pays OMS? Who pays OMS? After, you, when you say...
OMS is WHO.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, yeah, sorry.
I didn't know either.
WHO. Yes. But it's very important. Alors, you translate. Because my English is not very good. So, comment? Eh bien, c'est ce que je te dis. Le problème de la pandémie gérée par l'OMS, d'abord la première question c'est qui paye l'OMS? Deuxième question c'est comment sont établis les critères de la pandémie? Et troisième question c'est est-ce que en cas de pandémie, les brevets, et ça c'est un peu notre, ce qu'on voudrait faire, c'est qu'en cas de pandémie, on lève les brevets, pour que n'importe quel laboratoire puisse fabriquer les traitements, enfin les médicaments, les vaccins, les dispositifs médicaux et tout ce qui va avec.
problem with the way WHO dealt with the pandemic, well, there are several problems. And the first question is, who pays for the WHO? Second one is, what are the criteria for determining that it is a pandemic or not? And the third one is, when there is a pandemic, that's the question of patents and how they can be waived so that all the labs in the world are able to manufacture vaccines and everything that is needed to face the pandemic.
J'ai d'autres observations, mais on verra après.
I have other comments, but I'll come back later.
Thank you very much.
For a lot of minutes. But the translation is only within a second, which obviously means you are not translating exactly what she's saying. We talked about AO or whatever the term what is. You never even went into that term to explain to us in full, because you can't just go through. We don't understand. So that when we question you on things that we don't understand. So please translate as it is, and then we will take it from there. Thank you, Chair.
Can I just... Because Michelle spoke in English and then French, and English and then French. And since I speak both, I can assure you that the translation was quite correct.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
So what is the term?
The term she said in English and used the French word, and that's the confusion. She was talking about the World Health Organization and the role of the World Health Organization and who pays for them, and it's, I think, a relevant question. If we look to the future, I think personally we need to strengthen the World Health Organization.
I would just like to make a comment, because they are not translators, they are interpreters, so they interpret the message in French and they convey it in English. And they do it a very correct way, so it's an interpretation. They are interpreters, not translators, word by word.
So this is what we have.
It can be.
But this is our system in the European Parliament.
You must tell us exactly what we need.
But just to clarify, this is our system in the European Parliament, and they are interpreters, not translators. I understand, but this is what we have with us as our staff. This is how we work there. Just to clarify.
Honourable members, I think we should talk to the chairpersons.
Yes.
So let us get that one right.
Honourable Chamber Choir, can you also introduce yourself, please?
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm Honourable Dr. Tembe Kwayo, member of Committee on Health. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give to one of... No, is it now our turn? Yes. Honourable Gela?
Thank you, Chair. It was very difficult, actually, to hear, but although we had somebody who was translating for us, was interpreting for us to get your point. I think you spoke about where the vaccine was manufactured. I think in South Africa we've got J&J that is manufactured in South Africa. And also
Johnson and Johnson.
We call J&J, yes,
okay.
Yes. But you also, the issue of African Union that you also highlighted, I think we also participate, Chairperson, in the African Union as South Africa. But you also, the question that you ask, who pays the WHO, maybe the Chairperson, he'll be a better person to tell us more, but I think Chairperson, you will assist us on that one. I don't want to thumb back or to say something at the end. I will find myself maybe not responding in a correct manner. But I think all countries are contributing, Chair, but maybe you will tell us on that one. But I think we've learned a lot in terms of the pandemic. It was very difficult for us as a country. I remember in March on the 5th, because it's my birthday, when we first had a case of COVID-19 in our country. We were busy actually as a portfolio committee doing the public hearing, because we want to implement the NHI for our country. So we're busy engaging the stakeholders. It's where we have realized that there is a case that has been reported of COVID-19 in our country. And it was difficult because everything stopped. It was a shutdown, a total shutdown. It was very difficult for us to operate. But of course, with the assistance and also with the help of our president, Dr. Cyril Ramaphosa, and also our former minister, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, they've managed to secure the vaccine for our country, where our people started to take the jab. It was J&J and also Pfizer. So we started to take that, and then it's where we've seen at least people are responding in terms of making sure that they go and vaccinate. Although we are still doing that as a country, because we believe that the pandemic is still there. As a result, one of our members, Honorable Wilson, she's not here today because of the COVID-19. So we still encourage our citizens to go and vaccinate, because we believe that vaccine is the only way. If you are vaccinated, you can save life. So we still believe, and we also have platform where we engage and also communicate with the community. Of course, it's the Department of Health that is doing awareness to encourage people to vaccinate, so that at least we are all safe in our country. But we really appreciate the effort and also the work that our President Cyril Ramaphosa has done for our country to make sure that we save lives of many South African citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Over to you.
No, thank you, Chair. Just a few points I wish to add on what Honorable Gell is saying and what has been said here. I think one of the other things on the alert systems, I will share our way in which we run on the alert system, because we perform governance and oversight mechanisms to increase trust and ensure accountability and foster transparency. So as government, we do conduct oversight on the institutions which may be working around the matter of COVID and any other pandemic. That assists on transparency, accountability is very important. The other thing is that the proposed international treaty, we insist that it is anchored on principles of fairness, that's one, two, inclusiveness, and transparency, because that is quite key. And the other thing which I want to relate is that our approach in South Africa with regard to the management of COVID, in particular, we teamed up with WHO for the comprehensive emergency preparedness program and the expertise to achieve among the following. One was that the data management in collaborating with WHO. Two was the case management. And the three was the response coordination and the national strategic support in teaming up with WHO, infection prevention and control, vaccination planning and rollout, risk communication and community engagement. Last year was the epidemiological surveillance, rapid response and contact tracing. That is our approach as South Africa with COVID-19. What are the issues on which we are teaming up with who? So the question of who pays who is quite critical. I think the chair will deal with that. But we had a purpose in terms of our approach, how do we team up with who around the COVID-19 level. I think those outlined matters are quite key, which you may add in case they are lacking to say how could we best improve in teaming up with who together. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
So,
Honorable
Kaba, you actually disturbed our rhythm. We said 1-1, but we've given you the opportunity. We'll go back there and we'll come back to us as comrades.
Yes, thank you so much. Very briefly, I have been told before, we are here for learning, for sharing, for not to have boulders in our health system, global system. And you have to know that for us, for European institutions, it has been a very difficult moment. We have 27 different member states, different countries. At the beginning, we in fact moved by our own selves. Each country decided we could move only because of what each country supposes and thought that we have to do. But we didn't have a common and a global decision, a common and a global strategy. So for us it's important because this committee has to write a report about what is happening and what should happen. We need to improve all bad decisions, but as well, we need to avoid all the worst, or not the good decision that we have had. But it's important as well as we have not taken us and done our best internally. It's important for us to know how has been seen the European decision that maybe has impacted or not, in this case, to South Africa and Africa as a whole. But it is not the same, for we are seeing ourselves that we're sort of seeing outside. So my question is, which has been your perspective, which has been your point of view about the decisions, or maybe not decisions that have been taken, or should they be taken by, in this case, the European institutions? Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Tim McGuire, and then we'll take Honorable Kofa.
Thank you, Chairperson, I just have some, I'm just going to speak on the challenges that we experienced in South Africa, so that we should know that it brought a lot of problems in South Africa. Number one, the challenges that South Africa experienced was when the first load of vaccine was delivered in South Africa, only to discover that the date of expiry of the vaccine, it has already reached the date of expiry of the vaccine, which impacted on the financial situation of South Africa. And the question that I would ask is, who sent, because it comes from your side, who was authorized to send us as South Africans expired vaccine? And who should carry the financial implications as it may be? Critical, but we need from you. The second one is, you know, sometimes when we do things, we were not told that we were acting as guinea pigs. We were experimenting. We were form of experiment to test whether the vaccines can work or not. That's exactly what we realized at the end. Specifically to the news that was recently in the media about the Pfizer and the person that is responsible thereof. I think all of you knew and understand how his response was
towards this vaccine named Pfizer. And lastly, to say, there was a mention of the sign of treaty, like you say, there are countries or that are involved in this. But we as South Africans, or specifically our committee, was not taken into confidence to say we are going to this place and we are going to sign this and that. So there is always a degree of unnecessary degree of confidentiality to us. So now you are here. You are speaking about the very same thing that was rejected by the South Africans. And then it's a problem. So you should know that it's not accepted by the majority of the South African. And let me to say, this vaccine created a get-rich-quick scheme for those that are in control. Talking about the PPE and everything that came because of the virus that it may be. So you have to know that and take that into consideration when you respond to our questions. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you very much. I keep it going just a second. The first batch, honorable members, that was Johnson & Johnson. You speak about the first batch of vaccines coming into South Africa. That was Johnson & Johnson? JJ? No.
Pfizer.
Okay, we'll come to that on the contract.
This was
AstraZeneca.
Okay.
I tried to speak in English, because I speak French usually, and my member state is Germany. We want now to share a common experience, and we look forward how our cooperation will be better, because we all denoted a lack of solidarity between Europe and Africa by closing the border. It was a mistake, and when I heard that the expiry date was over, I must apologize for my member state, Germany, because it was coming from Germany, all those vaccines. And it's terrible, because I know that what happened in all African countries, that the same in Senegal, that all the vaccine came, it was too late, and it's not correct. And be sure, I am going to tell that our government, because the government now is my party, that the Green Party. And I cannot accept that we make from Africa a Guinea pig. Yes, we are not the Guinea, Africa is not the Guinea pig. And be sure, I am going to write to the ministry and tell her that it was a big mistake, and you have the right to expect officially apologize from Germany. That's first of all what I want to say. That's my personal commitment, that's my personal declaration. I didn't speak with nobody about that because I heard that now. I knew that because I read every day the African newspaper from Senegal, Guinea and Mali, the three countries were originally my parent case, and it's terrible to hear that for me, that my member state was behaving like it's not correct, first of all. But now, we look forward. And what are your investment priorities? What are your expectations? And how can local production be supported in the context of the technology transfer? That's what I want to know. And how is it the access to the universal health care for everybody? How we can, I don't say help, but how we can collaborate at the same level? That's what we wrote in our post-contribute treatment, because I'm the vice chair, the first vice chair of the development committee. And we want to have partnership with Africa at the same level. I don't know how we said in English, même niveau des yeux, Augenhöhe. Yeah, at the same.
Three eyes.
Yeah, okay. So at the same level, and
how we can make it. So you will be happy,
and my member state, Germany, will be also happy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honourable Clark.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I would like to just mention that this country is also has an incredible rural immunity rate. We're sitting around about 87%, which is a great achievement in my opinion of COVID. And yeah, you know, the first round of COVID was really tragic for all of us. We've all lost family members and friends and colleagues due to that because we did not have a vaccine in place. But for me, what is really important going forward is the assistance South Africa and Africa get from the European Parliament. I think, you know, European countries who have a wealth status that can assist Africa and South Africa to ensure that we are on the level of providing quality health care to our people, and that assistance from your country would be greatly appreciated, because I think that's a huge issue that we need to talk about. Then, you know, in terms of the WHO treaty that is being discussed and laid on the table, I am concerned about a few issues, and that is the laws and regulations that would be factored into that treaty, because I never want us to find ourselves in a position like we found ourselves in the beginning of COVID, having ridiculous regulations in place that really affect people's livelihoods and people losing their jobs, and from that point of view. And yes, we have to save lives, but we also have to ensure that our economy can cope with the regulations we put in place so that people's livelihoods are not taken away from it. And therefore, I am extremely pro and insistent that treaty needs to come to our parliament as well with discussions before we can agree on anything. I don't think treaties must be agreed upon and passed when they aren't the correct role players, and which is this committee and our parliament involved as well. Because we speak from experience when regulations are approved without any proper input, and what results from that. And that for me is very hard, very important. So it's the laws, the privacy, the regulations, but also the assistance to assist South Africa and South Africans to provide quality health care so that we can get our state health facilities on par in order to do that. Because I don't know if any of you have gone to visit any of our state health facilities. I mean, we've got big problems in this country in terms of state health facilities at the moment. And that is a core function that needs to be addressed as well to ensure that we provide the kind of health care that South African citizens so deserve.
Thank you. I think we need to look at the time at 10:54. We did start a bit late. Would you want to spend a few more minutes? Otherwise, we need to look at between the two of us after we're done, maybe wrapping up and answering some of the questions.
I still have one member who hasn't spoken yet, and maybe some of your members will. Maybe we give everybody still the floor, and then we wrap up, and then we go for the. Just looking, because I'm not so good in time management, we still have time. Okay. So can I give Mohammed the floor, and then maybe some of your members, and then we can. Well, wrap up, I think, make some concluding remarks.
Thank you very much. For me, it's very important. This is not us against yours. I mean, we were in the same problems for quite a long time. And yes, decisions were taken that did affect countries, let's say, more than others. And we really are here with the best intention to learn and to see what we can do to improve, let's say, any future pandemic that will affect us all. From the beginning in Parliament, we said we're only safe if everyone is safe. This was the broad line that was held, I think, by a vast majority in Parliament. We never looked only at the European interest. We were always looking at a broader perspective. And I think our chair was one of the people that, from the very beginning, was talking about TRIPS waivers, helping each other, making sure that the African countries have their own capacity to be autonomous when it comes to vaccination. And I think South Africa is really going in the right direction. For us, it's very important to understand what can we do to improve our relations, to make sure that you don't get nearly expired vaccines. By the way, I mean, what companies have done and what they sent to people, countries, this is of course not our responsibility. It's not respectful to send vaccines that are nearly expired. I mean, this is not something we would do. I mean, none of us would accept that. So, yeah, of course, this is ridiculous, and I think we have to assess exactly how the distribution of vaccines worked and whether that was done in a fair way or not. This is also part of our investigation. I think that's very important. What I really want to understand is, as Madam Clark said, you know, we were also taking decisions that, as I think also Mevrouw van Brandt said it in the beginning, that didn't make any sense. And, you know, now is the time to evaluate, to understand, okay, what can we do to improve the decision-making? I mean, closing the border for South Africans caused a lot of harm, and I don't think we would want to do that again. It didn't get support, I think, of everyone in Parliament. It was a decision taken by the executive branch, and we think it was done too fast, and it caused a lot of harm. And then, I mean, although you worked really hard to identify the new mutation of the vaccine. So again, we are here in good faith. We are here to listen. We are here to understand what happened, to see how we can improve the situation for next time when it comes to infrastructure, when it comes to the allocation of vaccines, production, knowledge transfer, etc. And thank you for having us.
Thank you. Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You know, just in bureaucracy, many were mentioning the issue of the expiration of vaccines and all of those things, but it's, the relationship we have is much more complex than that alone, especially if you note the kind of bias against African countries from the EU. South Africa made a very catalytic move last year, or in one of the last years of COVID and the science behind it, when they figured out a variant. And that variant in the news outlets in the parliament was not called according to the name that the variant was, but was referred to as the South African variant. So it's many small dynamics that make you realize the kind of relationship we have with Western countries. But in relation to ourselves as a country, we've got many things that are actually should be priority currently, and they were brought to light much more strongly during the pandemic. First of all, we've got a governance crisis in South Africa. We've got an incapacitated government that is very corrupt, and there's absolutely no consequences for that kind of corruption. There's mismanagement of funds. Billions of rands go missing each and every year, unaccounted for, and nobody has, there's no repercussion for that sort of thing in our political climate. And another thing that also creeps up in our relationship with Western countries in relation to South African governance is that sadly we've got leaders that consider political allegiance to Western capitalists and big pharma. For instance, we've got Bill Gates who funds SAPRA, an independent state entity in the Health Department of South Africa, that then went on to take J&J vaccines and roll the trial out as an actual vaccination program. And there's been no repercussions for that either. And a trial of J&J was rolled out in South Africa as an actual vaccination program. Until we hammered on that thing, that we can't be telling people that we are running out a vaccination program when it's actually a trial. People were getting jabbed, not knowing that they're part of a trial of J&J. That is what I mean to political allegiance. To big pharma and capitalists in the Western countries at the compromise of our own people. So our relationship from inception is very much mired already from the get-go. And in are you looking at Japan?
No.
Oh, okay. And even with small things, right? Like, so we had a Minister of Health, the former Minister of Health, who went on to sign non-disclosure agreements with Pfizer and J&J, which is against our constitution. A state entity or a person in the cabinet cannot have information that concerns the country and keep it to himself. Everything should be transparent, but those things happened. And we still don't know what was enclosed in that NDA to this day.
in South Africa, we don't know what is the NDA agreement that the Minister of Health had with Pfizer and J&J. And another thing that also creeps up in stuff like that is that now we've had so many information, maybe misinformation as well, on the, you know, the repellment of information from Pfizer, on getting out incorrect information. But SAHPRA, which is our state entity that is responsible for bringing in medication and make sure that it's safe for our people, hasn't released a statement to speak to that, hasn't recalled Pfizer, and hasn't been accountable to our people to date. Nobody speaks about what the impact of that on our people could possibly be. And that is what we have a problem with in South Africa, that even our independent state entities pay allegiance to Western countries and not our people. So even this conversation is one that we should take on very deliberately and without sugarcoating many things just because we are trying to maintain a cordial conversation. Another example is the former minister. So he was involved in a corruption scandal, right? It was brought to us in October in 2021, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and we hammered on it quite a lot, and nothing happened to him until he started speaking publicly about Sinopharm and Sputnik. And in no time, he was removed as a Minister of Health. So it gives you many questions that you can't fight corruption 2 years later when we were already outlined 2 years before, and now you want to make that the basis of removing someone just because they spoke about Sputnik and Sinopharm, basically opening and not allowing monopoly of vaccines in South Africa, which is the case today. So even the issue of monopolizing medical care, even the situation of monopolizing access to healthcare facilities, the fact that our country can be a playground, that J&J can just come and establish their own institutions that benefit them and their profiteering, and not necessarily our people, because these vaccines are not free, by the way. These vaccines are not free. I'm not done, Chairperson. So, you know, our historical relationship to the West as Africa is a traumatic one already as is. And despite the fact that we've got catalytic scientists in the country who make serious inroads, we are still seen as people that are supposed to receive help. And that is because we've got a government that is meek and weak and attends to the EU, attends to Western countries as if we are feeble and cannot make of our own decisions. We haven't even met with other African countries, and here we are today meeting with you. And there's many countries that are very nearby. We've got Swaziland, we've got Botswana, we've got Zimbabwe, we've got so many countries in Africa that we haven't even engaged with. And yet we are still a global solidarity that has to happen outside first before we even try it in our own continent. It then raises many questions on what exactly is the primary mandate of this supposed solidarity that doesn't encourage capacitating our state institutions, that doesn't encourage capacitating intra-trade relations in African countries that you guys already have in the EU. You've got the liberty of meeting other European countries and forming allegiance that you can even come together as the EU when we don't have that as yet. You know, and lastly, it will be a neoliberal allegiance. According to my perspective, it will definitely be a neoliberal allegiance because the EU has never, it still doesn't, and will not set the interests of Africans under the current circumstances that we currently live in as a country. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, let us not be provoked. I will answer some of these points myself. So, Honourable Van Staden, you had your hand raised. We are completed on that side, so we said we'll take some other hands. Honourable Van Staden, you next.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, members of the delegation. I think the whole world, and we have seen it play out during this pandemic, was caught off guard when COVID started. I think we were thinking as a human race that we are these superhumans and nothing can touch us. And then COVID came overnight, so it scares everybody. I think during this past 3 years, we, as many countries, have learned a lot of lessons, and we have also made a lot of mistakes. But we must be preventable not to make mistakes again going into the future. And such as this, when the news came on board about this World Health Organization treaty, which needs to be established. A lot of questions is arising from our South African citizens when this came to light. You can understand that because we have the senseless lockdown regulations in this country, which have a tremendous effect on our economy, as my colleague has spoken earlier about this matter. And the oversight role in Parliament were a bit downgraded during that stage. So, if we're speaking about the World Health Organization treaty between the member state countries, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered from the South African government and from us as representatives in the National Assembly as well. So my main point I want to make is do not repeat mistakes that we have already made by making bigger mistakes. So let us as member countries rather go carefully through this treaty and have lengthy discussions about this matter. I think the meeting we have today is a very good start, but the time is too few and too little. I would suggest that we need to sit down with you guys for at least 2 days to discuss what this matter. Then you must take me with you. on South African floor. But this matters and concerns from both sides need to be addressed carefully before any country can go into such a treaty. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, we now have 13 minutes to 11. We still have replies to do. I've seen the hand of the Deputy Chairperson. Oh yes, before I give to the Deputy Chairperson, we have one member who still has not spoken. 2 members actually, Honourable Slengwa and Honourable Tuwela.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members of this delegation. We welcome you. And we had our cries at the same. Now, mine is very short. That since now, we know that vaccine is not a treatment. Together with South Africa and EU to address this global supply chain challenges, and we must ensure that medical products are available and affordable for all those who need them, because this vaccine is not treatment. Let us together have the treatment which is affordable, and when you need, you must get it. Let us come together and come with that solution, because when we talk about South Africa, South Africa is very vast. There are even, if we talk about statistics, there are even, we don't know how many are there, because South Africa are very vast, are very far, and community are in the remote. Yes. But now, to me, it's very important to come out with now the treatment of this pandemic, because we know that COVID-19 is there to stay with us. Let us have that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Siwela.
Thank you, Chairperson. Well, I have 2 things to raise. One, in dealing with the problems of the pandemic, South Africa had a fair share of problems, like any other country that faced this particular pandemic. For me, I would like to state clearly that South Africa has no governance problem. It is in the capable hands of the ruling party, the African National Congress. I just want to put that clearly. Yes, like I indicated, there has been some challenges, and those problems that emanated from the process have been thoroughly dealt with, and to date the government is continuing to deal with it. Secondly, for me, what is important is going forward, the developers or producers of vaccines in future should consider, should we face other pandemics, should consider making those vaccines affordable even to poorer countries so that they will be able to cover the majority of their citizens. That's my contribution. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, the honourable members. So first of all, we will not interfere with your internal policy. This is your job, and we also have opposition and government groups, and so we have the same job. But sometimes we also have the same mission, and you can see here different party members, and we are working together when things are really important, but we will not interfere with you, that's your job, so first of all. Second of all, in response of what Honourable Member Chirwa said, you changed your name, right, but I don't know, I still have the old name, please forgive me. I know that it's her, but she changed the name, she told us before, we don't know the new name, all I wanted to say is, European money and German money, which is coming to South Africa, it's not charity. We see partners in you. You are partners. This is really important for me to say that. I know during this pandemic there have been a lot of mistakes in every state because it was challenging for everybody, also for the European Union. And as I told you before, we have an old population, so for us, the situation was really unclear. And all I wanted to say is, our investment in South Africa is not charity, it's partnership. And we need you, because you are so important for early detection, and because you have good science. So for example, talking to Professor Oliveira, for me, was as a medical doctor, it was really impressive talking to him. And on the other hand, it is also good that we as European Union can come as a strong partner for South Africa. This is cooperation. I'm talking not about charity, I'm talking about IHALT. And this is what we should work for. And this is what we should, this partnership is what we should make stronger in the future.
Thank you very much. Before we proceed, I'd like to welcome our House Chairperson, Honorable Cedric Frolic. We will give you a moment to do the vote of thanks. Thank you very much. That's our House Chairperson, if you have not met him yet. We will do the following, honourable members. We'll do a wrap-up. It will be the three members. It will be Honourable Herman, Honourable Kansain, and myself. I think we'll do it in that order, and we'll try to answer the questions which were raised and give responses to those questions. Thank you. Honourable Herman said?
Yes, Chair. I think it's bothering me a bit that we haven't answered the question that was put to us by Dr. Sida, at the beginning of the discussion. I'm not sure. We've been all over the show. I don't know if you've managed to sort of distill from the discussion what is that one thing that we want to see in the treaty. I'm just putting it out there. I don't have the answer. But with trade and industry, I just want to prepare a few statements which I just want to share with this gathering here. So in South Africa, the granting of the waiver allowed Aspen Pharmaceuticals to open up a vaccine production facility in South Africa, but due to the time lag in obtaining the waiver, the demand for vaccines had already slowed down as the national peak of the pandemic had passed and the uptake from African countries was low at that stage.
So while the need to secure national and regional security in terms of access to critical health products is appreciated, the withholding of intellectual property rights and technical know-how places an undue burden on developing countries to assist themselves and others where industrial capacity is available to produce these products. The response of the developed countries, including Europe, in a time-bound waiver that was aimed at providing key policy tools to ensure a critical equitable access is disappointing. We are concerned that the EU is now backtracking on extending the limited outcomes reached at the 12th WTO Ministerial Conference to therapeutics and diagnostics. If trade policy remains blind to the link between IPR and high medicine prices, trade policy will remain ineffective and will result in a costly research and development system that rewards monopolies at the expense of public health. As lawmakers, we have to recognize that the transfer of technology and technical know-how are essential to improving productivity and realizing the development aspirations of developing countries, especially in Africa. So we call on the EU to support rebalancing trade rules to provide a better balance between protection and incentives to promote research and innovations and on the one hand and the needs of society on the other. The COVID-19 pandemic has exposed us to the imbalance. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. You want to be last?
It's all the same for you.
Yes. I'll give you first.
Then you can still respond.
Yes.
First of all, let me very sincerely thank all of you for taking the time and having this discussion. And I really enjoyed also, well, the fact that there is a majority and an opposition.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very important. It's a vivid proof that you are a democracy and we don't realize that enough, or we don't take enough credit for that, but it is so important. We are democracies talking to each other.
Mm.
We have different cultures and different ways of doing it, but we are two democracies talking to each other. And I'm not going to say too much about what you mentioned, for instance, the relationship with the West. Rest assured, it's not the subject of today, but in Europe, in all of the member states in Europe, we have vivid debates on how to deal with our historic past towards Southeast Asia, Africa, Latin America, and that's good, I think, and maybe at another occasion we can have that conversation. I think it's very important, but as my vice chair already said, there's a huge support within the European Union, the Parliament, the Council, and the Commission to change that relation in a true partnership. And that doesn't mean it always works like that. During the pandemic, we made mistakes. Let that be clear, and that's the reason why we have this committee and we take the lessons learned. But there's a full support to work to each other based on partnership. And yesterday when we met with Afrigen and BioVac, you will see that they have a lot of support, also financial support coming from the European Union. And it's not just giving money. That's not what it's all about. Of course, it's important. Without money, no investments. Without investments, you cannot get your dream in place. And yesterday, I was really impressed by that dream because it's a wider dream. It's South Africa taking responsibility for the African continent in collaboration with all the other African countries. And as you know, we will leave for Addis in the afternoon. meeting people of the African Union, so that will be very important. And that dream is, it's also put in writing, says that you want to be responsible for your own production of vaccines and necessary pharmaceuticals in the future. Let that be one of the most important lessons coming out of this crisis. Never waste a good crisis, huh? And you have the full support of Europe in that. And it's not easy, because that means that we will have less impact of our pharmaceutical industry, but that's not a problem. I think it's very important that you can get that. Let me say briefly something on the trade issues and the WTO, Mrs. Hermans, because I think you addressed them, and rightly so. As I said in my introduction, Europe is complex. We have three institutions. We have all these member states. And so there was no one line on the TRIPS waiver. We had a majority in the Parliament, but it was not covered by the Council and the Commission. There was a lot of division within the Council. And then, the Commission doesn't have a mandate, a full mandate. They took the stance from the start that they are not very much in favor of a TRIPS waiver, but nonetheless, they sat down and they started negotiating with South Africa, with India, and the result is not very satisfying. I do know that the Commission is not against therapeutics to be included, and that diagnostics. We are not against that. I think it's mainly the United States who is against that. But I think, and that is also my main message, that with regard to that discussion, I don't know whether the TRIPS waiver today will make a lot of difference as it stands in the pandemic, as we are in the phase of the end of the pandemic almost. Let's hope so. Touch wood. Yes. it is more important that we reach out to one another on what we will negotiate in the pandemic treaty and the relationship what will be in the pandemic treaty with the World Trade Organization. As you know, the World Trade Organization is not in the best of its abilities with all the problems that we have, and that's broader than the TRIPS waiver. It's not functioning as it should, the World Trade Organization. And in Europe, we believe it's very important that we have the World Trade Organization, and that if necessary, we can reform the World Trade Organization. And I think we can find alliances also there. The last point. Contracts, because you mentioned yesterday with the Deputy Health Minister, you were there, Mr. Jacobs, also mentioned the contracts with J&J. Today we had the issue on AstraZeneca. I think there's also very important lessons to be learned. And rest assured, we have equal the same problems with contracts with our pharmaceutical industry. We are getting now a lot of vaccines coming in, of a contract that we negotiated a year and a half ago. So we have similar problems. And I personally, and I hope we can get that in the report, we have to change that model. And again, within pandemics, we need to be able to have the same rules on procurement of these issues. So let's think about the future, how we can deal with these contracts, because it is very important. We cannot accept what has happened with contracts and the pharmaceutical industry, not for South Africa, but even not for the European Union. So there's lessons to be learned over there as well. Dear Chair, I think I'm going to leave that there, and again, it with the full support of the members here, and also our gratitude of having this discussion with all your members coming from all these different parties, which is important in a democracy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to answer some of the questions, especially the one that Honorable Hermans is very interested in. So I have about five questions which were raised, and then a couple of corrections which I'd like to make, and a statement or two to make in the end. The first one is the role of the members of the National Assembly during the pandemic, which is, now we've had a number of roles. First is that we were part of this call for national unity and social solidarity in response to the pandemic, so we were loud. And through our mandate, we were focused on
on the following things. One is the legislative measures in relation to the state of disaster management. The second one was supporting the health risk management interventions, such as advocating for social distancing, screening, wearing of masks, establishment of quarantine sites, monitoring of the availability of health resources and enhancing protection and support for vulnerable groups, including frontline workers. We were involved in ensuring accountability through oversight of the executive and ensuring a multi-sectoral approach to engagement with different stakeholders and role players, including civil society. The second question is, what would we like to see captured in this treaty? I think in the preamble it's most important to state that we need to reach equality in healthcare universally in the entire world. And that is the reason for South Africa having spoken to this challenge of inequality in terms of international patents, and that we require waiver so that we are also able to manufacture in Africa and in South Africa in particular the vaccines, the therapeutics we're talking about, and the diagnostic needs. And so secondly is, I think what needs to be really be captured is the strengthening of primary health care as a component of future pandemic preparedness. So those are two points which I think should really be captured in that treaty. The next question was on the tools, but the question was also answered that through your visit at Africhen and BioVac, you could see that we do have the necessary tools to be able to produce what is required for us to produce and to compete with any other country in the production of the three named needs of vaccines, essential medicines, drugs, therapeutics, and medical devices. And you answered that question. And apart from that, we mentioned the groundbreaking work that has been done by South Africa in many aspects in the health care services, first heart transplant, the work of Professor Julio de Oliveira, etc. So South Africa is known to advance science through our innovation. And I think that would answer your question. The next one was, who pays the World Health Organization? As far as I know, it's paid through the member states, which have to make a contribution that is assessed by the United Nations General Assembly as a percentage of their GDP, and that is the contribution. And apart from that, there's also a voluntary contribution that is made by member states. So those are the two forms in which that is paid. The question five is, what is our perspective or views on decisions taken by the EU? We've raised it very strongly here, and it's raised by many members. I think that was answered in the sense that the trade agreements, which Honorable Hermans was talking about, and then the TRIPS waiver challenge, which we are speaking about, and then this point of Africa being able to produce its own needs in the pharmaceutical and in the health sector. I think that is where the EU should have taken different decisions, and we'd like to implore you to really work at going to present this and getting different decisions to be taken. And then the corrections. We have not received expired vaccines. It was definitely not, AstraZeneca was not an expired vaccine. It was a vaccine that we found out did not provide immunity to the Beta variant at that time. And that was the reason that our vaccine maker decided to advise us not to use that particular vaccine. The second one is, there was a small bit of thought, you know, the vaccine is frozen and then it has to be thawed, let's call it defrosted, and then be provided for use for patients and clients, etc. So there's a small bit of the J&J which has been thawed prematurely, which we then couldn't use. those are the two incidents. The last point is, second last point is, you'll remember that I requested yourself to make a clear statement in support of the international instrument and the waiver of the and the TRIPS waiver. So I'm hoping that that's what you'll be able to do. And then very lastly, it's good to hear that you are not against the therapeutics and diagnostics to be produced in other countries, and you assist us with those waivers, and that you will look into those contracts with the pharmaceutical industry, which have been a challenge to us during the pandemic. Thank you very much. Honorable members, so...
We have come to the end of our
I will take your point of order, Honorable Silva.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. There's even released by the department as well, speaking on the issue of the 2-month expiration date and how it puts pressure on, because the rolling out of the vaccine program at the time did not have capacity to roll out 15,000 vaccinations per day. It was still in the very beginning of the vaccination program. And the doses that we got only had 2 months before expiration, before they were going to expire. So the statement that was released to this effect, to speak on that. But furthermore, even the variant thing is an additional thing which will also raise. So on top of the problem of expiration, there was also a problem of the variant thing, which this committee even asked the minister about, that how are you buying vaccines when you haven't even checked the efficacy thing just because they are approved by SAHPRA, especially in the rise of new variants coming up each and every day, especially after the beta variant thing. So the expiration thing is not something that we're talking about just to make a conversation. It's something that even the government itself released a statement to that effect. There were even pictures of the president holding the batch of vaccines, and we saw the date ourselves on those pictures. They were written on the pictures that the president was showing to the time that they received new vaccines, and it showed an expiration date that had 30 days to go. So I don't think it's fair that you're dismissing that particular fact, because it actually had a very strong impact on how the run of the country had to happen, that we even had to sell the doses to other African countries, especially because on top of the expiration date thing, they also were not useful for the variant that was found in South Africa.
Thank you very much for that point of order, Honorable Chirwa. I spoke to the word that was used. The word was expired vaccine. Now you're saying that we had received vaccines which had an expiration date of two months going into the future. So I think we're talking two different things at the moment. We must also, Honorable Chairman, we must also be mindful of the time that has been allocated. The honorable members of the EU Parliament have to travel to Addis Ababa. We have a fixed program. We've reached the end of our program. I will now ask Honorable Cedric Frolic to do the vote of thanks. Thank you very much from myself to all of you on behalf of the Portfolio Committee and my co-chairperson.
No, thank you very much, Dr. Jacobs, and good morning to all the visitors who are here. My name is Cedric Frolic. I'm one of the presiding officers in Parliament since 2010 for all my sins. And it's always an honor and a privilege to meet our colleagues from visiting countries. On behalf of the Speaker of the National Assembly, may I express a word of gratitude for your presence here in the South African Parliament, and also for the interaction that you are having on very critical issues. The Committee on Health is very ably led by Dr. Kenneth Jacobs, and we also have the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Trade, Industry and Competition, Ms. Julia Hermans, who was here, and I fully associate myself with the comments that they have made. As you can see, South Africa is a very vibrant democracy, and Parliament is a very vibrant democracy where we do not suppress the voices of those who have divergent views. And that is a room for interaction. And that's also the spirit in which we pursue our international diplomacy. We were honored last year when we met with your first Vice President, Mr. Frans Timmermans, who visited South Africa, and we met him in Johannesburg, because together we work also on what is commonly termed the Green Deal and what is happening in terms of climate change. We believe there's a direct link between climate change and the pandemic that took place and future pandemics that will occur due to the irresponsible behavior of a lot of the industrialized countries of the world where fossil fuels, they're telling us don't use fossil fuels, but they use fossil fuels. They increase the use of fossil fuels. So there's a lot to discuss, but we won't have time this morning to iron up all those issues that are there. The portfolio committees, of course, when it comes to international treaties, will scrutinize these treaties because that is the work of Parliament. The governments go and the governments negotiate and discuss, but ultimately the Parliament must pass that international treaty. And we must make sure that it serves our own interests and it also works towards our national goals. So thank you very much for your presence here. Thank you very much for your participation. We wish you well in your further travels on the beautiful African continent and Godspeed in whatever you are going to do, and may you return to Europe refreshed with a firm commitment from Africa and South Africa that together we are partners in this. The world doesn't have boundaries really. The boundaries are lines on maps, but when it comes to pandemics and climate change, we are all in it. And as Pope Francis said 2 years ago in Italy in Rome, climate change and the COVID-19 pandemic and the measures to fight it should be for the common good. And we must be careful not to commodify everything that we are doing. So thank you very much for your presence.
Just honourable members, we're going to have a refreshment, we're going to have a official photograph taking on the steps of the NCOP. Thank you.